sommerlichen Sonne ist es hier drin. Danke.
The old person has
me and mine in the center, the new transformed human being, is no longer stuck in the story of me and mine. No, it's free from the prison of me and mine, the false identity, and it is full with a deep realization of that I'm eternal. I have nothing to do with this world of happiness and distress. I'm a citizen of another country, the country of love, eternal love. Yes, this is a transformation. So one of the ways by which now to do this, to come there, you need some influence in your spiritual life, something that turns you. For instance, if I want this water to transform into vapor heißt Wasserdampf, then I need something to do with this water. In my example, it's so simple. I need to heat it up. I need to bring the power of temperature here, and then the water moves from one state to another state. The same holds true if I want to transform my personality. I do require a lot of spiritual power. Something that influences, something that goes there, that makes me fly. There's an old Sufi story, my favorite story, by the way, on transformation. It's about a river who, since already thousands of years, flows. It wants to reach the ocean, but it comes to the desert, and when it hits the desert, it can flow for 20 more meters, but then is absorbed in the desert, and it disappears in the hot in the sand of the desert. Es sickert sich da ein. So once the wind came to the river and said, "Yeah, I can take you to the mountains and then to the ocean." I watched you for 1,000 years, and I have watched how you always disappear. You never make your journey. You never complete your journey. "Yes," said the river, "this is very nice. What do I have to do?" And the wind says, "You have to stop being a river. Trust me, I will make you a cloud." So the river is afraid and says, no, this I don't want. I don't want to be, I don't want to stop being a river and become a cloud. And the wind says, "I return after 500 years and see if you have reached the ocean." So after 500 years, the cloud returns, and there is the river. It's totally desperate. I've run and run and run and run trying to cross the desert, and was a failure. "Can you now please bring me?" "Yes," said the wind, "but are you ready to stop being a river for some time?" The river said, "You don't leave me any other choice, so what do I have to do?" "Just be there and tolerate. I will now come with a lot of force and heat and then transform you into a cloud." The river said, "I'm ready." The wind returned. No, the wind went deep into the desert, and when it was in the center of the desert, where it's really hot, it turned around and it was now a hot storm. It came to where the river was disappearing in the sand, and it blew on the water, and the water rose up, not like this, it rose up in vapor. It became a cloud. It became a cloud bank from here to Alaska, so big. And the river then, the wind then took the clouds and brought it to the mountains, and there it became a river again, flowed down the mountains and went to the wide, vast sea. So person with the desires, with the attachments, with the everything. Guru Krishna, are you willing to transform? If you want to transform, you have to stop being what you are telling yourself about yourself. And all the Ulrikes and Ursulas of Berlin, are you willing to transform? all the Olgas from the Volga, the Olga from the Volga, are you willing to transform? Then, yes, the ego, the identity has to change. We were talking in the car about this. Every one of us, this Erik Erikson, that's a social psychologist, carries an identity kit with them.
It's like a, you know, identity bag.
The identity bag. There are many things, you know, of interest. Let me see what is in here.
Yes. Oh, here's something interesting in my identity bag. I will show you.
That's not me, by the way. Should I show you something else in my identity bag?
I don't know, I have not rehearsed this. I could shock you. Let me shock you a little bit.
That's not me. Want to see something else in my identity bag? Yeah, my notebooks. There I have all my knowledge inside. We all carry an identity kit or bag with us, with which we totally identify totally identify. We are sometimes willing to go to war for some things in our identity kit, to argue, this is right, this is me. But we have to be willing to leave that behind. It is not us. So, reading a transcendental scripture like the Bhagavatam can help us to transform, just like the wind in our little analogy helped the river to become a cloud. The daily reading in a scripture like the Bhagavatam can help us to first develop a different understanding of who we are. After reading the Bhagavatam, I became convinced that I'm actually an eternal soul. I became convinced like this. Then I developed new desires and values. I developed also a whole set of new behaviors. I was so different when I became before I became a devotee. I saw yesterday we had some short video thing, and I saw one band. I'm too shy to say the name. It is not a very good band with good reputation, but I was interested in the music. But it has changed. I'm not interested. I see the members of this group are troubled, and they are troubled. So new set of behaviors. Everything changes. If you can receive the message of the Bhagavatam through proper oral reception, you allow the subject matter of the Bhagavatam to enter into your awareness. See, each one of us is like a hotel with a a check-in counter, and every day guests come in the form of ideas, concepts, certain narratives, and some of these guests, we should welcome them happily into our inner life. Other guests, we should say, sorry, all the rooms are occupied at the moment. We have no place for you. Sorry. And let them go. This Viveka, it's called, this power of discrimination, which allows certain things in and rejects other things, comes when we read the Bhagavatam. Your power of discernment, also deine Entscheidungskraft, becomes strong, so that you are able to choose between those things that are harmful for your spiritual development and those things which are very, very helpful and positive for your spiritual development. There's only three things which you have to do in order to make Bhagavatam happen. What do I mean with make Bhagavatam happen? The Bhagavatam has words of spiritual power. And these words, when we receive them properly, can change us. Let me give you some examples of this word for words of power. For instance, a priest will at the altar say, I declare you, Hermann, to be the husband of Hermine. And just because he pronounces this with the authority which the religious institution church has invested in him, his words have power. Now two people are together, they live together, they make a family together, they share their life together.
Wow!
Or I would like to give you another example, which is not so pleasant. Imagine one special soldier, he says, attack! Everyone goes like, no. But if he is a general, who has invested in him the power to speak this word, attack, wow, the world history changes. It's a word of power. A-T-T-A-C-K. Only six letters are so powerful that the world history changes. General Wellington or Napoleon, and they say these words, then there is potency. So in the same way, the Bhagavatam is invested. We have here this beautiful and creative decoration in the temple room. It is invested with a lot of strength. The Bhagavatam, in the opening pages of the Bhagavatam, Krishna's disappearance from this planet is described. Krishna was personally here. He had appeared as the Puna avatar, the complete avatar from which every other avatar comes. So when he left, a question was raised. Now where Krishna has left, where's Dharma? Where's Jnana? Jnana means spiritual knowledge. And where is something else? Where has all this gone? Dharma, righteousness. And the answer is, it has come. Krishna has invested these powers in the pages of the Bhagavatam, which make the Bhagavatam immediately something else than a piece of literature. It makes the Bhagavatam a place of spiritual potency, of spiritual power. If you wish that spiritual power to enter, or potency to enter into your life, you need to know three things that help you to extract the spiritual energy from the pages of the Bhagavatam. Now, I often give the example, in India we have this sugar cane growing on sugar cane fields. Have you seen in Vrindavan? So if you want the sweet juice from the sugar cane, you need to bring it to these, I only know the German word, these sugar cane wallers, means the sugar cane people, who have these walzen, you know, these cylinders, and they then press the cane and the sweet juice runs out. So in the same way, from the Bhagavatam, if you want the juice, the spiritual power, that which is not the print, you know, the letter print, you need to do three things. First of all, you need to approach the text with some amount of Shraddha, that is faith that the information here, although it is sometimes so much beyond my small little brain, that is could be a truth. No? This Shraddha you need to invest. Then you need to read the book regularly. This is very important. Regularly means ideally every day. If you cannot make it every day for long, touch it in some ways. I don't mean necessarily physically touch it, but open it, read a little, half a verse or something. Don't lose the contact with the Bhagavatam. And finally, Svacheshtitam is the Sanskrit. I'm translating this from Sanskrit. Shraddha, Nitya, and Svacheshtitam means with some amount of effort. The effort should be, you need to concentrate, you need to focus, you need to be there. You need to turn your many minds, your many thoughts, I wanted to say, into one desire. Let me please receive the message of the Bhagavatam. And then, my dear everyone, you have the power of the Bhagavatam working on you. The first place where you will notice it, it's in your heart. You get all of a sudden another perspective. My spiritual master called it, you come above the clouds. When you're in the material consciousness, you're under the clouds. It's gloomy, dark, rainy, a little cold. But when you pierce through the covering of the clouds, you come to a place called above the clouds, where you can see the sun. It's so full of light. It's usually, well, I don't think it's warm up there, but it's vast and beautiful. So in the same way, when you do these three things, it's not difficult. A little amount of faith must be invested so that you don't reject difficult passages immediately, which are beyond your present mind and understanding. You must do this regularly, and finally with some amount of focus. No? Then you pierce through the clouds. Bhagavatam happens to you. The words of power move you on to your next realization. And it is said, by regularly studying the Bhagavatam, all that is troublesome for the heart becomes annulled, means it goes, and instead of it, loving devotional service is coming into the heart as something which cannot be changed. No matter in what situation you are, you carry this bhakti in there. So today, as Jainitai said, is a day where we, it's an astrological day, it's a full moon. Have you noted the last few days the moon was becoming larger and larger? You've noticed. So today night, it's the full moon. It has reached its full capacity. And during this day, it's already starting now, it is good to give away a Bhagavatam on a golden throne. Now we are at the moment a little bit poor, maybe it changes in the next few months, but at the moment golden thrones are not with us. Olika Shamanti. We have one. It's pure gold, I can see. It sounds also like this. So, on this day, the Bhagavatam is presented. I present on this day a set of Bhagavatam to the Indian embassy. I think it's a good place where the Bhagavatam should be. I have heard that a few of you receive actually sets of Bhagavatam. That is here, that you can see, like, they have even put a little Christmas decoration. But receiving a Bhagavatam is really only the first part of it. The real part is what you heard. Please don't put the Bhagavatam on the bookshelf in your book and never read it. No, and the Bhagavatam will display its potency. Once you read it regularly, you with some amount of faith and with attention. I want to end by telling you a little narration from the Bhagavat Mahatmya. What's that? Every scripture, transcendental scripture in the Vedic culture, has what is called a Mahatmya, that is a book that accompanies it, that describes to you, the potential reader, the glories of the book, what are the special features, and it also always gives you some tip how to read it. So this story which I would like to share with you comes from, I believe it's the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Mahatmya, but I'm not 100% clear, it could be the sixth or seventh. And there we find two brothers. They are so opposed, you can't believe how much they are different from each other. One is absolutely saintly. From birth, he only reads scriptures and serves other people. And the other brother is just so mean, just so einfach gemein. How do you say gemein? Mean. That he is, even as a child, when he played with other children, he would strangle a child to death. That's the horror of every teacher. Imagine you have such a child in your class, Clemens, and in the religious class, when you talk about the subject of religion, he gets up, he jumps on some other child and strangles him to death. This won't be the hand of this in a religious class, it would be too much. So Gokarna, the saint, grew up next to his violent brother Dundukari. But somehow, being the brother of Dundukari, you know, he felt the bad vibes, we used to say in our young days, the bad atmosphere which Dundukari presented, that he left home at a young age. Also, Atmavan, the father of these two brothers, left for the forest, and Dundukari was now alone with his mother. When he knew his father had gone, he took his poor mother and started to beat her and say, give me your gold. The mother said, no, I know you will use it for alcohol and women. But Dundukari just took the gold by force and threw his, by force, right? And his mother was so depressed already. Her saintly son had left, her husband had left, that she jumped into a well and drowned herself. Hare Krishna. Dundukari had a lot of gold at the house, and he began to invite prostitutes, not one, but a few. And he lived a life, my dear everyone, I don't want to tell you. He murdered people, so that finally the prostitutes decided this is too much. One night they were burning, no, they were binding Dundukari on his bed, and they started to put knives into him. But Dundukari was so strong, he screamed so loud, so that finally one took a burning log of fire and just pulled it in the mouth, and then the demon Dundukari died miserable death and became a ghost. Now there was no one in the house. It was a haunted house. Gokana, after a long pilgrimage, decided, let me visit home. And he came in the evening to this house. He had no opportunity to ask anyone what happened with his father, his mother, and his troublesome brother. But he stayed in the house, and in the night the brother came to him. He came to him as a ghost. First he looked like this and like that, and then finally he looked like the Gehörnte. How do you say this in English? Lucifer, Satan, and stared at his brother Gokana and screamed at him. And Gokana was just, Hare Krishna, poor brother, what happened with you? And because Gokana was not disturbed, Dundukari got some good sense. He understood, my saintly brother is very protected. I can't do anything with my ghostly magic against him. And he fell at the feet of Gokana in the morning and said, please help me. I'm suffering so much. I'm now a ghost, and my evil disturbed mind is giving me so much misery. Can you help me? Gokana said, brother, you are a difficult case. I tried in the past many things, but nothing worked. Let me pray tomorrow when the sun is up, and maybe I get an idea. Come back in the evening. Dundukari said, I'm always here, I'm also there. Next evening, I promise to not trouble you. So in the evening, Gokana, who had prayed the whole day, said, I got an inspiration from Suryadev. You should hear for 7 days the Bhagavatam. And then by the power of the Bhagavatam, in which the Lord has invested his own Shakti, you will be delivered from your existence as a ghost. You will be transformed into a different being. Acha, said Gokana, and a reading of the Bhagavatam was arranged. A good Brahmana, and possibly also Gokana, read every day the Sanskrit in the Bhagavatam, and then the tikas, the purports, and in the evening he closed the book and said, come back tomorrow. And his readings were so delightful, they gave so much life, that the whole village was coming and participating in the reading. So on the seventh day, when the reading of the Bhagavatam was completed, to everyone's surprise, a Vimana came. That's a spiritual airplane, if you so wish. It has a nice baldachin and wings as a, like swan wings, and it landed. And four servants of Vishnu came and they touched the place where Dundukari stayed. You know, he was a ghost. He had to stay in some bamboo so to not be blown away by the wind. You know, they came and touched this, and out of the out of the bamboo came Dundukari. But how did he look?
He had a spiritual effulgent body. He had a garlet. I don't know if it was as beautiful as this one. he smiled. He was totally freed, not only from his sinful existence, but also from his sinful, troubled mind. He paid his obeisances to his brother Gokarna. Now I remember who had read the Bhagavatam to him. To him he paid his obeisances to everyone who was assembled, and he went to the Vishnu Dutas who said, "Come, it's time for you to return home." When they said this, a big noise happened from the crowd. They all shouted in one voice, "No!" Gokarna, this is not fair. Gokarna, the rascal, goes back to home, and we, who had the same Bhagavatam reading happening to us, we have to stay. This is not fair. This is a mistake. Then the Vishnu Dutas answered. They said in English, he would say, "Listen up." American English, you could just say, "Listen. Both of you have heard, the sinful men, Dundukari has heard, and you all villagers have heard. However, you heard with a different quality." Gokarna listened as if his life was dependent on it. And you village people listened like the Hare Krishna people. No, they didn't say this. I'm sometimes joking about our own people. It is good. You listened in an absent-minded way. And therefore, because the Svasheshtitam was different. Remember the third quality? To extract the nectar was tva chestitam, some effort to remain attentive and focused. And because they listened with this effort, Dundukari, the rascal, listened with this effort, and you did not. He goes, but we suggest that you make in 1 month another Bhagavatam reading and try again during this Bhagavatam reading. So this is the one of the narrations in the Bhagavat Mahatmyam. And I sincerely want to request you, my dear everyone, when I request you to read the Bhagavatam, it's not just a book, it's a powerhouse of spiritual information which contains words of power. And if you are too poor to buy a Bhagavatam set, that can happen in life, we are not always in the position. Maybe I can imagine if you come, but you want to read it, if you come to Jainitai and Lekha Shavanti or Sadashiva or Gokrishna, anyone, and you say, "I would love to have a Bhagavatam set, but I can only offer a little something, a few apples, you know." So then I think on this day, maybe there's a chance that you get one as a gift. Maybe, I don't know. Good. So I'm thanking you very much for listening.
I wish you all the best for your Bhagavatam reading. I wanted to just bring to your attention that the Bhagavatam is has words of power that can bring about the transformation of the ego, no? The anchor to this world. And the example of this is this amazing pastime of or story of Dundukari, who listened to the Bhagavatam in 7 days. It was a kind of marathon, you can say, and who received his spiritual body. His identity was really transformed. He was looking like an enlightened soul. Hare Krishna. So I will end here. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premanandi.
Gisojanai Sachinandan Swami Maharaj ki
jai. The voices who were actually hesitant.
Yeah.
So is there a way to quickly get to a point where we always have at least a desire to let go?
Yeah, the very interesting. In my seminar, I had to address this obstacle to spiritual transformation. Obviously, I'm it's not yet given. I'm writing it every day. I'm at it, and I'm doing a lot of research. See, there are a few reasons why we hesitate to give ourselves entirely to the spiritual process. There could be many reasons. It could be attachments to our upadis, our designations, you know, our labels. Upadi, I think you understand. But it could also be the fear of failure. It could also be the reason why we hesitate is a lack of conviction. Maybe if I jump and then there's no one there to catch me. You know. My grandfather once did this. He jumped out of a burning house. There were people who were there with a bed sheet, but he was so heavy, he fell right through the bed sheet, and he has left the body a lifelong injury from this. So, what happens if I let go and there's failure and I won't be caught and so on? All these and many more reasons are symptomatic to the covered soul, the soul which is covered with various psychological things. And there is one process to remove those coverings. And this is a very important subject. I will not be able to talk very long on this, but you are trained psychologist, so I can be a little bit faster. It will purify or take away these various obstacles which we carry in us. And listen to this, change our, the Germans would say Weltsicht, in Sanskrit you call it Darshan. Darshan doesn't mean only what you do when you look at the deities, but Darshan means also an insight on the world, an intuitive knowledge, or as you could say, a certain perspective on the world. In Tushta Krishna, this world is a place where your perspective matters. When you enter with one perspective in anything in this world, very often the world answers in the same way, because it's made like this. But for the enthusiastic person, for instance, many things always work out. I know enthusiastic people who don't have any skills except for their enthusiasm, and they are successful. There are many like this. But then there are very skillful people who are not enthusiastic, who think, I will be a failure. And they are always failures. Have you ever, you know, maybe when you were driving bicycle, when you're learning the bicycle, I remember in my case, oh, I have two left hands. I'm so impossible in this. I will for sure, when I am sitting on this bicycle, go into a bad accident. I will just go from the right side to the left side on the bicycle who comes. And I'm driving the bicycle and I will have an accident. I will, all of a sudden, I don't know how it works. My hands go like this. when you walk on a narrow piece of, you know, what, and you think, I for sure will lose my balance, you know. And there's no reason why you should lose your balance except your mind. So changing your mind means to change your life, changing your perspective, changing your Dasein, changing your Weltsicht, as we say in German. This happens when you read the Bhagavatam and then you do things differently. It seems the world is a mirror of your mind. That is, according to how I enter the world will respond. And you have seen many studies which show how, for instance, healing is very easy when someone is confident he will be healthy. The mind is over matter. So yes, if you want to quicker come to the level of pure Krishna consciousness, you need to increase the quality and the quantity of your absorbing spiritual information. That's the easiest way, and it's a painless way, relatively painless. But don't worry, you have such a strong desire. I know Tushta Krishna. I'm so lucky that I know him since, I don't know, could it be 20 years or so? 20 years. You have such a good intention. It will work one day. You just are a little bit in the frying pan of God until you become a good potato, you know. A Gauranga potato. Hare Krishna. So Shumit will have the last. Do I say your name correctly?
In Bengali, it's like not T, it's like Tho.
Tho.
Tho, it's like Shumit. But is it with T, it's like Shumit, yeah. But it's not like T, it's like Tho.
Shumit Tho.
Shumit. Like Tho. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this wonderful lecture and enthusiastic talks to. Yeah. So, Maharaj, my question to you, let's say every year when Damodar month comes, we read the same pastimes again. And when we read Putana Leela or we hear the Putana Leela, this is the same pastimes again and again. So, for the I'm asking this question for myself. When I'm hearing the Damodar Leela or Putana Leela for the first time, I have so much eagerness to hear and to go deep, and when I'm also reading, I also have the same enthusiasm and desire. But when this is coming for the second time or the third time, my mind is telling me, you know that pastime, you know that. So then I cannot really hear, I cannot really read anymore when the information I already know. So how to come up from this mood that I am just looking for information, that's all. I'm not going beyond this information seeker stage, Maharaj.
Wonderful.
That's my question.
Well, you need to learn the art of broad and deep reading. What is a broad reader? A broad reader wants to find out all the informations. So let us say you're hearing about the Damodar Lila. It's a certain narration I will explain from the Bhagavatam. If you do broad reading, you would say, okay, I have read this now. Let me now read the more information from the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami. Okay, I've done that. So more broad reading. There's a good book by Shivaram Swami on this. Let me also increase my knowledge. You will read, and this broad reading and increase the amount of information. But at some time, you have read it all, or have understood it all. And so what you need to also know is what could be called deep reading. All right, here is a pastime. What did Mother Yashoda feel towards Krishna? And how did Krishna respond? What went on in the realm of rasa? It is the tasting it. In the realm of tattva, this is broad reading, you can quickly come to an end. But in the realm of rasa, that is the deeply spiritual feelings, there's no end. It increases only. I do know from my spiritual master, he always relished. He would listen to the Krishna book. He would ask devotees to read it to him again and again and again. And he would, but he was the author. You know, he had written, but he said, no, it's not my book. And when you do deep reading, it's a little bit, broad reading and deep reading are as different as seeing Krishna and seeing Krishna for the first time. So, what do I mean? Once disciples of Prabhupada came to him and said, Prabhupada, does Krishna look exactly like on the pictures? How does he look? Prabhupada pointed in one picture, this is how he looks. Then he said, and when you see him, you see that he looks totally different. This is deep, the deep understanding. And the particular understanding in Krishna Katha is, first we need tattva, the truth, you know, all the philosophical, why this is so, why is that is so, and totally get all the dimensions clear, but then we need to go, we get all the broad dimensions clear, but then we need to go inside and relish. And then we will find out it is so sweet, as we say in Bengali, it is so absolutely rasika sweet, no? And it is crazy. Now that's a matter of purification. I will read in the Damodar Mass again the Leela, Krishna and Damodar. Yes, I know, sometimes one is only a broad reader, and then I have read it so much, there's some new book about this. But then sometimes when one is blessed, one can do deep reading, and then a new rasa filled dimension opens. It's also the difference between knowing something and experiencing something. Yes. All right, then we are now coming to the point where we give the Bhagavatam to everyone, no?